And one of the things I've discovered is that I effectively, over the years, have crushed my dreams through fear. My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips, how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. And this started out as a podcast short that became a full program. As you may be aware, I have been working with my money story since meeting Laura Powner on the program a few weeks back. And I was having a conversation with another past guest, Susie Beaumont, about my money story and about things that were coming out of my head at the time. And we realized that what we were talking about would have made a good podcast short. However, it kind of morphed into a full program as we talked for about 40 minutes about our own experience of money, our own experience of fear, and it kind of moved into personal development and about the project that we're working on together. So without further conversation, I think I will leave the program to explain itself. I hope you enjoy this podcast. Susie and I have much in common, and we tend to get carried away, as you will see. Okay, welcome to Life, Passion and Business. Had some technical things there, playing with OBS and Zoom and all trying to stream ourselves to Facebook. So assuming the computer don't die from all these things I've just done to it, we will have a conversation with Susie Beaumont. I'm so delighted today. So full disclosure, I am working with Susie Beaumont at the moment on the Change Your World conference. And so we've been covering loads of discussions around life, passion, business, and all the sorts of things that come up when you start doing a conference like this. And this is the Change Your World conference that happens on April the 6th. So Susie, welcome to the live stream.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me.
It's great. Now, one of the things that reason we did this today is that I have been working with a lady called Laura Powner on money. And I have been opening the box that is my head and discovering all sorts of crap and things that shouldn't be there about money. And one of the things I've discovered is that I effectively, over the years, have crushed my dreams through fear of money, actually of what it might cost me. I've actually not done things purely and simply because I didn't think I could afford it. And it's a real, quite a saddening thing to realise how limiting I have been around this.
However, it is an opportunity now that you know it.
Well, this is true. It is definitely an opportunity now that I know it. But I know you and I were talking about it, and it's like I thought, well, we must start sharing this stuff. We must have a conversation about it. So what's your story with fear, Susie? And I'll get back to mine in a moment. Where do you sit with this lovely place that most people sit in and don't notice?
With fear, I used to be scared of everything. Just terrified, absolutely, truly terrified to be myself, to live my potential, to speak out, tell my truth, be all that I could be, to stand out and shine. And I still am to a certain extent. There's still things that hold me back. I still feel fear around that. I've learned through my own personal development journey that we have two motivating factors, and it's love or fear. Sadly, most of us operate from fear. That's our default setting. You know, it's our limbic brain. It's designed that way to keep us alive. You know, without that, we wouldn't be alive today. Our race would have completely and utterly, been killed off years ago.
Yeah, we are programmed to look for the negative, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that's a survival thing. So the thing is, you have to while it's useful, you have to be aware of it and make sure that it doesn't limit you and, like you, you know, cull your dreams. And I think we're all guilty of that. I don't think you're anything, you know, I don't think that's new. A lot of people do that. It's the realization is what where the pain comes from, when you realize you've done that.
Well, like, they say that only 5% of the population actually have goals.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I was reading that. And that's quite shocking. And because when I read that stat, I thought, wow, if that's a fundamental flaw straight away, because if you don't know where you're going, if you don't have set intentions, you know, I said this to you earlier, it's like trying to book a holiday. If you don't know your destination or where you're going, you can't book the flights, you can't book the transfers to the airport, you can't book pack your luggage, you know, you can't arrange your apartment, your accommodation, so you can't do any of the process. And you just drift, and then you never actually get to go on holiday. It's the same with goals. Life will just happen, and you don't design your life, you don't create your life, you're just constantly in reaction to whatever comes up.
Yeah.
And, you know, if our thought pattern is also negative, then that mirrors what comes up for us. We, you know, project that out there, and, you know, we just get to this place. Well, I certainly did. My experience was that I just hit a place in my early 30s where I just thought, oh my God, is this it? Is this, you know, I'd done everything that I suppose I thought society, what you do, you know, you go to school, you go to further education, you get a good job, you get a house, you get the boyfriend, the partner, you know, all these things. I was on this track, and I just thought, this is just eat, sleep, work, repeat. And none of this is filling me with joy. You know, I mean, with the exception, I did love my job. I really had a great job. I was really thriving in that. But that's where I was putting all my energy, because I was avoiding the rest of my life, because it was like, it was too uncomfortable. I knew it was uncomfortable. I didn't want to look at it. I knew I wasn't reaching my full potential, but I didn't know what else to do. There was fear there.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, if I look at this, that means I'm probably going to have to separate from my partner. If I get truly honest with myself and have an honest appraisal of my life,
yeah,
I'm going to have to split with my partner. That means selling the house that I really love and the location, and, you know, moving away from that. That brings up fear. How am I going to survive on my own? What's, you know, how will I survive financially? What will, with fear about what other people would think, you know, this whole status that I'd created for myself, you know, the good job, the partner, yeah, the nice house, all that. And it's like, everyone will think I've failed, you know? And I found out that most people, well, you know, my good friends actually really cared deeply for me and weren't thinking anything like that. And anybody that didn't really know me, they were too busy dealing with their own stuff.
Well, that's the point. Most people don't notice everyone else. I mean, and I don't notice anyone else until something comes and you suddenly think, oh, I thought they were doing okay.
Yeah. But, and also, you just feel compassion for when you see somebody suffering and going through a challenge, you don't feel joy that they're going through that. No. You feel absolute compassion, if you're a decent person, obviously, but you feel compassion for that person. Yeah. You're like, God, you know, I'm really sorry that's happened to you, you know. But as I've learned, that all these challenges and crises, and, you know, they are an opportunity. You always learn something from them. And that's easy to say when you're at the other side of it. You know, I'm talking with sort of 7 years of, or even 10 years of hindsight of the crappy times I've gone through. And, you know, life is really good for me now. But, you know, whilst I was in the midst of it, you know, it was painful and it was horrible, and I thought I'd never get out of it.
But it is this thing about recognizing, you know, there is opportunity. There's still opportunity. I mean, yes. I found this picture at the weekend of when I was 16. And my son is the same age now, and we look so alike. This picture,
oh, really?
There's so much of him in me at that age. It really is. I mean, we look alike now, but looking at that now, you kind of wow. And I have to say, it did bring a lot of emotion up for me looking at that picture, because I recognize all that potential at that time. And that's 40 years ago. And There is a sense of lost opportunity for me, which I'm feeling now. And actually, when I think about it, I'm feeling it now. I'm feeling that kind of like, I did literally let those 40 years go by. And all right, I've done stuff and I've enjoyed my life, but what else would have been possible had I really embraced the potential?
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I wanted to have this conversation here today, because it's like, just because it's 40 years have gone by, I'm 56, there's still plenty of time.
Absolutely.
You know, there was that video we shared on Change Your World. Did you see it, of the old lady, the race?
Yes, I did, yeah. I mean, incredible.
The lady on the race. I don't know if you've not seen this. It's on Change Your World, and I'll share a link of it here when I remember. It was a race. It was a 60-meter dash of older women. And we're talking seriously older women. And the last woman who crossed the line, the last, became a world record holder. She did a 60-meter dash in 24 seconds. And she's 102.
Incredible.
And she's 102.
I don't think I could do that.
She's 102.
I know.
And she only took up running when she turned 100.
It's amazing. It's just like, and like, you know, I hear this constantly in the work that I do. I hear from people, oh no, I'm too old to start now. And honestly, I'm quite a sensitive person. So when I hear that from somebody, I actually feel it. I think, oh no, don't do that. Don't say that to yourself, because your body and your mind and your soul is screaming out for you to be the absolute best that you can be. You know, it's like we actually have cells in our body, and that's their whole purpose in life, to reach their true potential. We're designed to reach our true potential. However, society, conditioning, one of my big things that I'm constantly talking about is that I don't think we have enough role models. You know, we become a direct reflection of the five people we spend the most time with. So if those people are not lifting you up and not inspiring you, not empowering you, encouraging you and supporting you, then you just end up being like them. And, you know, that might be fine. You might be lovely people, and everybody, you know, I'm sure they are. However, if you do have these dreams and goals and desires and they're unmet, it does start eating away at you. You know, a little bit of you dies. And that's, yeah, it's not a nice place to be. I mean, you were saying about your son, you know, he's the same age now. I often say to parents, you know, when we're doing the work that we do, and it's like, you know, look at your life now. Is that what you would want for your own child? Or would you want more? And all parents want more for their children, you know, and it's not to, you know, slag off their life or criticize their life, but it's just like the dream is there. Of course I want more for my son or my daughter, you know, but it's like, well, why don't you want more for yourself? You know, and it's, you can see people kind of going, it's like when you see people in really crappy relationships, really toxic relationships, and they're being really challenged by it. And you're saying, you know, if your daughter was in this relationship or your son was in this relationship, you know, and it's a brutal question to ask, but the light bulb moment that goes off, because it's suddenly like, oh my God, I'd be telling my daughter.
Yeah, but you see, that you get into, now, right, I'm a marketer, so I work with this kind of stuff. That's kind of what I work with. I mean,
yeah.
And we, in marketing, we call that the threshold of the pain to change.
Yes, yeah.
And there's this lovely old story of two old guys sitting on a porch somewhere in the US somewhere, and there's a dog lying in the middle, and he's whining. And the old guy says to his mate, says, why is the dog whining? And the guy said, he's laying on a nail.
Yeah.
And he says, why didn't he move? Not that painful yet.
Yeah. And that is absolutely,
and that's it. You know, we learn to deal with pain to a point, and only when it becomes more,
so painful.
But when it becomes less than the pain, you know, or greater than the pain to change, we change.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you sometimes, you know, you will reach your enough point where it gets so painful and you will start changing. However, change can be painful because it brings up all kinds of, it brings up the fears that we're talking about, obstacles, challenges.
Leaving a partner, sorting out the issues of actually having to sell your worldly goods together.
All that, you know, brings up judgment yourself, guilt, all these negative emotions. And suddenly you're faced with all that and you're like, oh my God, sod that. And because of the way the limbic brain works, the limbic brain will do absolutely anything to feel better. It's a very temporary thing. It wants temporary pleasure. It wants temporary solutions, temporary fixes. It's not thinking about the long-term gain. Okay, like I will get over this challenging time and life will be better. In that moment, it's full of fear. Its basic instinct is to survive. So it will do anything to feel better. That's like why we go, if we're in a pub situation, a social situation, and we feel uncomfortable, socially awkward, take a drink, makes us feel better. You know, it's like, I feel crappy, so I'm going to eat a bar of chocolate. I want to feel better. You know, whatever fix it is, you know, we go to, that's why the limbic brain is kicking in and hijacking, and you have to override that. And, you know, I've only just learnt this in the last few years of my life. And it's like, if I had known this as a child, my life would have panned out a lot. If we were teaching this in schools, this was a regular thing that people understood, how the brain works, how our fears kick in, how we get hijacked, then we could manage it much more effectively and start creating.
That brings me to a wonderful conversation with one of your speakers. So Will Murtha is one of our speakers on the 6th of April. And I was having a conversation with him yesterday about what are the issues in this sort of stuff. And now Will is a performance coach. He's a high level coach.
Yeah,
and he was saying to me, whether he's speaking to someone who's earning 20,000 or 200,000, the questions and the problems are the same.
Absolutely.
It's all about overwhelm.
Yeah.
And he was saying, we are all overwhelmed. Everybody's overwhelmed. And the reason is because you can only change three things. I think this is such a clear description. You can only change three things in a person. You can change your skill, your craft. Yeah. You can change your physique. You can actually improve your physique and look after your body. And you can change your mind.
Yes.
And most people are used to only changing the first two. They do very little with the third.
Yeah.
And that's where the big shift is coming now. Everyone has heard the word of mindfulness. And, you know, that's what this conference will be about. I think one of the things in this conference we will really discover is a lot about mindfulness, because I think this is where everybody needs to step up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, mindfulness, you know, a lot of people immediately think, oh, it's just meditation, sitting on a stool for 20 minutes. It's not. Mindfulness is being mindful of your actions and your thoughts and your, you know, how your body's moving, how the feelings that you have. I mean, you know, our body is speaking to us all the time with aches and pains. You know, it's signaling to us something you are doing is not serving you, whether that's the food that you're eating, the lack of movement, the stress that you're piling on yourself, the negative critical self-talk, you know, whatever it might be, or the environment you live in is constantly speaking to you. And it's very much, you know, like Will said about, you know, we don't develop the mind, you know, very few of us. I mean, that's what personal development is all about, is developing the mind, becoming aware of your belief systems, your conditioning, your influences, why you do what you do, what you stand for, what your core values are. You living in alignment with your core values? Because nothing will give you more stress, anxiety and resentment than going against your core values.
Yes.
And we never step off the treadmill. You know, we're so busy just on the rat race, you know, just going around, eat, sleep, work, repeat. We never step off to kind of go, right, what am I doing? Is this bringing me joy? And if it's not bringing me joy, what can I do? I mean, and even if you do that, you know, a lot of us kind of get to a point where you go, well, I don't know what I want. I mean, and this is what I was asked, you know, 10, 11 years ago in my first session. I had a life coaching session. I was like, well, what do you want? And I was like, I don't know. You know, I was just sort of said, well, how can you create the life that you want if you don't know what you want? And I was like, well, you can't. And, you know, I didn't have a clue. So what I then did is then start kind of just trying new things. I was like, what do I actually like? Who am I? Because I'd morphed into this, you know, I went through all the doing what I should do with society expecting me to get the job and the boyfriend and all the rest of it. But I was like, who am I? I don't even know who I am. I don't know what brings me joy. I don't know what I'm passionate about. I don't know what my values are. I don't know what makes me alive and feel motivated. So I started trying new things and working out the answers to these questions. You know, that meant taking up hobbies, started personal development, I did mentoring, volunteering. I did all kinds of things. I went traveling, had all amazing, weird and wonderful experiences. And yeah, it was good fun. It was good fun going on a self-discovery. And I mean, it wasn't all easy, you know, like you've had a painful revelation in the last few days, you know, lots of that came up. But once you become aware of these things, that's the starting point to changing them. Because if you've not got the awareness, you can't even begin to change. So, you know, when you have these painful moments, that is when the magic happens. That's the opportunity to start, you know, addressing it and start going, well, that has been my pattern to date, but I don't want it to be my pattern in future. So
this conference, getting back to the conference, is yes, not necessarily, you don't have to be coming to this conference to be making massive big change. It's not necessarily about ripping your life apart. It's actually about looking at your life and saying, is this what I want? And for most people, your life is pretty good, but it could be better.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the fundamental thing. I was going to say I became evangelical when I first started.
I had noticed that in you a bit.
You see me before. This is it reined in. But it was like, suddenly I realized, just through the changes that I made in my life, suddenly realizing how good I could feel. And I'd never experienced that. Like, I just had accepted what was and didn't realize there was more. There was another level. I could feel more. I could live with vibrancy and excitement and joy and all the rest, all the happiness, that health and happiness. That's, you know, that's my fundamental core values, health and happiness.
Can I ask a question? I've never seen a picture of you at your 10 years ago.
Oh gosh,
you said you were overweight and all sorts of things going on. It'd be really I'm sorry, this is a bit personal maybe, but it'd be really interesting to compare the two.
Well, you would see, I mean, what you see is somebody just kind of just a shell, you know, when somebody, you see somebody and they're just oozing kind of when somebody's alive, you know, that you can see it jumping out of the picture. Well, what you would see sort of 10 years ago is just somebody a bit dead behind the eyes, to be honest. That's, you know, I mean, the thing is, you can look at somebody's exterior and not see it, not bat an eyelid, you know, because we don't tend to kind of look closely or tune into what somebody, the person who's standing in front of us. However, when you do tune in, you really kind of get a sense of what's going on with this person. They're not, you know, I mean, you know, I was just like, I was meek, I was shy, I was, had no self-belief, really poor patterning, really inner dialogue going on, really not, had low standards and, you know, for myself, and didn't have healthy boundaries in terms of relationships. I had toxic friendships, was constantly people pleasing, not doing things that made me happy, you know, at all, and just going along with everybody else's criteria. And I was like, what does Susie want? When I looked and asked that question, I was like, Susie wants none of this. I was just like, what the hell am I doing? I just don't want any of this.
So you took up the idea of moving, doing Change Your World, and now you have a job that's 24/7.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm like, I live in the dream.
Well, you will be. This is what it's like up to the conference. I appreciate all these things take time and a lot of effort.
Yes, no, definitely do.
So we've got on. Let's get to the conference and wind this up, because we've been talking 20 odd minutes now, and I think it's kind of it's short. So the conference has, I know it has Will Murtha, and it has, you can say the complicated names.
Okay, so well, I'll start off with the easier one. So we've got Brian Main. He's the world's creator of the world's leading achievement system, goal mapping. So he's going to finish the day. So once everybody's been totally fired up and inspired and are like, yes, I'm going to do that, he's going to end the day with his goal mapping exercise. And this is very much, they want to create a ripple effect. We've all been to conferences, events, and training. And we're like, that was a brilliant day, fired up, and then we go back to work on a Monday morning, don't implement any of it. So he is very much going to put in the tools and techniques to give you a game plan.
Brilliant.
But you know the steps that you need to take to get that goal up and running and start achieving that. The start of the day, we've got Maggie Georgopoulos. So she is from Mags Inspire. She's a consultant. She's a women empowerment coach. She's an author of Up the Ladder in a Skirt. She's talking about her rise to success in a very male-dominated environment. But she's going to be talking about conditioning of the brain, why we think the way we do, the impact that that has. And just, you know, she's got, I nearly blew it there. She's got quite a surprising revelation to reveal at the conference as part of her story, but it's an extremely powerful story. We have Marta Levandowska from Plant Based Health
I'm
Professionals.
glad you did that one because
Yeah,
I
I've
didn't
got to say
want.
it on the day,
I
so I've
know,
got to
and we're going to
practice
practice it. We're going to practice it.
it.
And I'm
Just
not
hope
sorry,
I've got
Marta. Sorry, Marta, but I struggle with your name.
I
It's
know. I
truth.
was like, I just hope I've got it right. I just never in those going to just mumble it quickly.
Nope,
No.
we're practice.
Probably offended everybody. But she's going to be talking about the benefits. You know, I mean, there's so much research now coming out about a plant-based diet, and obviously lots of people are very confused. There's lots of conflicting advice. So she's just going to be revealing the latest research into plant-based health, how it can reverse certain health conditions. It can certainly prevent conditions like cancer, diabetes, heart, stroke, you know, so, you know,
I mean, it's quite
just
well
one small
documented now that you
change.
can reverse type 2 diabetes by literally changing your diet. I mean,
Absolutely,
it's
yeah. I mean,
really,
well,
really
I
common.
went to a conference and they showed actual scans of a heart attack patient, and he was about to have stents put in, and he said, you know, I think he was advised, you know, try a plant-based diet. He did it for 4 weeks. A plant-based diet, purely plant-based, and then they took another X-ray, and all his arteries had opened up, and he did not need the stent. That was 4 weeks, and they had the X-ray evidence. So it's incredible what a plant-based, and this is why I'm so such an advocate of it, because literally one small change. I mean, we had I did a video with Kev, one of the guys that comes to our weekly life coaching group, and he has now, I can't pronounce his condition. He's got ulcerative colitis, but basically it's a horrible kind of stomach condition. It inflames the colitis. It's painful, bleeding, you know, cramps, all kinds of things. He was on 6 tablets a day, and I had said to him, you know, I said, have you looked into a plant-based diet? Because there's a lot of research around that can reverse this. And he was completely skeptical. You know, he's just diehard carnivore and all the rest of it. However, he went away, he felt empowered, and he went away, looked into it, found that there was quite a mounting bit of evidence. And he thought, do you know what? I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to give this a try. So he tried it, went plant-based. Within 6 months, he'd reduced his medication down to 3 tablets a day. And I mean, he was on steroids, he was on anti-inflammatory, all the really hardcore drugs. And you know, he went to his doctor, he did it along with his doctor's advice and said, I'm going to try this. 12 months later, he's symptom free, pain free, he's off all his medication. I got a text from him today. He said he saw his consultant, and his consultant said that you no longer need to come back and see me because he's not having any
And that
symptoms.
is supposed to be an incurable condition.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's same with, you know, Crohn's disease. Apparently, plant-based diet is doing amazing things for Crohn's condition as well. So, you know, there's loads of benefits. So we've got Marta talking about that. And again, you know, Kev is just a prime example of just one small change that he made to his lifestyle, and you know, being able to thrive as a result. So that's kind of things you get in a conference. The other person we've got so Ian Bell, he's from the Executive Fitness Foundation. He's been a consultant working with lots of corporates and improving their health and fitness. So he's going to be talking about creating a mindset for lifelong health. You know, it's not getting out of this mindset of it's a short temporary fix, or it's getting fit for the beach holiday, or, you know, whatever. It's creating a mindset to, you know, really value yourself, really take your health seriously.
Since I turned 50, my health has been something that was really important to me, and going to the gym.
Yeah.
And yeah. I am now stronger than I have ever been in my life from that. Mm. And my fitness level now is just, and I get so proud of it.
Yeah. And it is.
You know, I have a six pack that I never had when I was a young man. And it's like, you know, I have the beach body, and it's like,
You're like, I have the beach body all year round.
And it's like, and I say this to people, they kind of go, yeah, but I'm not going to show you.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's fine. Just go abroad. You need to look. That's the next step. That's your next step.
But, you know, isn't that amazing? It's like, and like today I was moving some stuff for a friend today and shifting bits and pieces. And she said, bloody hell, Paul, you're strong. Yeah.
I know, and do you know one of the reasons that why most elderly people end up in an old person's home? I heard this from a personal trainer. It's not because they've got all the faculties, their mind, body and spirit is all there, but the fundamental thing is because their core strength goes.
Yes.
And they can't get up off the toilet. And that's why they end up in an old person's home, because that simple fact, because they haven't got the core strength. So just, you know, developing your core strength, because if our core strength just keeps the rest of the body just, yeah, you know, yeah, rocking. So who else have we
anyway
got?
The final one, that was Ian Bell.
And that then was Ian Bell.
And it's Brian, isn't it? Sleep. Jane is,
so we've got eight speakers altogether.
Yes, including you.
I'm going to be opening at the conference, yeah, sharing my own story and just explaining, the theme of the conference is going to be about conditioning this year. So I'll be setting the theme for the day and just explaining how we're conditioned. And it's about, you know, living true to yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said this to you before in the podcast that we did, that, you know, I read this quote and it really stuck with me about life being a test. And we only pass if we are true to ourselves.
Mm.
And, you know, it's going to be reinforcing that and just sort of saying, you know, be very mindful about where your influences have come from, your belief patterns. You know, what is the limiting beliefs that are holding you back? You know, you've just discovered a major one, you know, and it's like, so it's kind of thinking, well, what are my core values? What are my belief systems? And am I living in alignment with them? Because see, when you do, life just becomes so much easier. It really does. It just takes out all the complications of the anxiety, the stress, because you know your foundations, you know who you're about, what you stand for, what you want. And it just, yeah, when you know these things, life just flows a hell of a lot easier. So that's, yes. And Jane, I've briefly mentioned Jane, bless her. She is from Before I Go Solutions, and she will very much be talking about the subject of death, which makes you immediately go, oh, great, can't wait to turn up for that one. Mm-hmm. However, it's very much, you know, looking at the end of our life, and so that we can really focus on living, because so many people are terrified of death. And you're like, no, you should be terrified of not living.
Death and taxes. Death and taxes are the only two things you can guarantee in life.
Exactly. So it's just like, do you know what? That's certain. It's going to happen. Mm. What you do in between,
well,
is the difference between preventing it.
If you recognise, precisely, if you can recognise that you're going to die, you can do all sorts of things about not getting there, or at least enjoying the journey before you do.
Absolutely. And I mean, that was the thing. That was the fundamental. I mean, my story is I've lost my mum, my dad and my sister, you know, all very young. And this was a brutal, brutal life lesson for me. And however, if I can learn from this, like, I lost my dad first and, you know, I was only 24 at the time, but my dad was like, oh, I'm too young to die. I don't want to die. I've still got too much to do. And I remember thinking, that's not going to be my legacy. I can't. If I can learn anything from this painful experience, then that's not going to be my legacy. However, flash forward 10 years, and there's my mom and sister getting diagnosed with terminal cancer, both young, and I'm thinking, I wasn't thriving at that time in my life. You know, I'd become completely complacent about life again. I was like, how have I allowed this to happen? So, flash forward, lot of work on myself, lot of developing, and yeah, I'm just absolutely determined that that is not going to be my legacy. And yeah, I'm grabbing it. I'm doing everything I can in the time I've got, but I'm making sure that I extend my time. I plan to live to 100. I'm going to make it an adventure.
Fantastic. Fantastic. You're going to be doing that marathon, that 24-second dash.
Yes. I actually have always said I would like to do a marathon. The problem is that, yeah, I'd like to have it under my belt that I can say I've done a marathon. I just have no...
So my last podcast,
work for it.
My last podcast guest who did 63 marathons in 63 days... And is a, and in the 1st of August is about to run across Australia in 63 days. She was pointed out to me that only 1% of the world ever run a marathon distance.
Yeah.
So if you do a marathon, you are in a very elite squad. Yeah. So it's really made me think, that's I'm never going to be in the top 1% of wealth. But I might be able to do
that. That's your money story talking.
Possibly, yes. But
yeah. You just need to change that money story.
Maybe I do. Yeah. So, well, anyway, it. Our final... the speaker.
1 year old, dude.
So, our penultimate speaker is Nick, and he's talking about sleep.
Oh, God, you forgot about Nick. Yeah.
And everybody has this thing of, do you get enough sleep?
Yes.
And it's like, because I as I get older, I notice I can sleep a certain amount of time, and I wake.
Yeah. This is what Nick's going to be talking about, because I think we have these, well, again, we're conditioned, we're influenced, and we're told all these stories around sleep. And, you know, he's going to be busting some myths around sleep and just getting you to work out your own sleep cycle. He talks very much about, you know, actually 30% of the population are AMers and 70% are PMers. Which actually means we're all pretty much working against our natural working days. So, you know, we're not at our best. So there's only 30% of the population that are actually at their best during the morning. And the rest, you know, I mean, I know this myself. I know that, you know, I'll do stuff in the morning, but in the evenings, I find myself super productive. It's just like, I know I can, and I get shit done, you know, I just get stuff done, and it's like, what? And so, but I still get up really early because I like to be up early, but, you know, maybe I really need to rethink this. But this is what Nick's going to talk about. You know, he's going to talk about how to design your own sleep cycle. He'll talk about teenagers, how they do need longer to sleep, you know, so don't get totally wound up. He'll talk about how to avoid jet lag, how to have a healthy relationship with technology, you know, because we need to work with technology, but it can impact our sleep. So he'll talk all around that, how to use it to your advantage, but not have it control you and affect your sleep. And yeah, so he'll be busting lots of myths about sleep.
And the final one will be Brian will be showing us how to take it forward into our lives.
Yes, that is about the ripple effect of the day and going forward and what you do. Because the thing is, theory is wonderful, but application is the answer. You know, it's all wonderful learning all these things, but if you don't apply any of it, nothing.
Actually, just talking through this is getting—it's quite an exciting day. Yeah. I'm actually I've been looking forward to it anyway. But talking to about it with you, I mean, let's get this out. Let's get this going.
And I mean, that we've not even mentioned the exhibitors, you know, because that's the other thing. So we have the exhibitors there, and again, they're very much there to support people making differences in their life. And that's my friend coming in. It's very much the exhibitors are there to. Help with the ripple effect. So whilst you're fired up in that space, you can tap into life coaches, personal trainers, any healing that we have, you know, Reiki, holistic therapies, that kind of thing. So that whilst you're fired up, you can tap into those and get the support, because, you know, we can make these changes on our own, but it is so much easier if you get the support, if you get a coach, if you get accountability, you get, you know, whether it's people that you, you know, a tribe of people. This is why things like Weight Watchers and running groups work, because they have that social aspect, they have accountability, they have group people motivating each other and supporting each other. That's, you know, what the idea of the exhibitors are. So they'll be showcasing their services and highlighting how they can help you to make the changes.
Oh, looking forward to it.
Yes, it's going to be a great day.
It is.
6th of April, Inverness, Smithton Church. Be there or be square.
Showing your age there. So tickets are available from the Change Your World website, and or from Eventbrite. I think you can find it on there.
Changeyourworld.me.
Details will be here. Anyway, thank you, Susie. It's been a pleasure to have this conversation and to play with this new toy, and let's see how it all works. Anyway, I will catch you soon. So thank you so much.
Take care.
Cheers.
See you later, Paul.
Bye. Bye. And that was Life, Passion and Business with my guest Susie Beaumont from Change Your World. If you would like to attend the conference on the 7th of April, I appreciate some of you are a little further away. It is in Inverness in Scotland, and it promises to be a spectacular day with 8 speakers and lots of opportunity to get stuff done. There is also another interesting heads up. There is more to come from Change Your World, which everybody could get involved with. So if you are interested at all in the potential for your own personal development, it's worth swinging by the Change Your World website and seeing what's possible, because I know there's some things coming up in the next few months that would be interesting to anybody all over the world. A little heads up in what's coming. I'm doing a podcast with myself next week, and I've also got an interview next week with a local farmer. And I have known this gentleman for probably 10 years, and he was a marketer like myself, and he came back to the land. So there'll be an interesting conversation as what drives someone away from business to a business which is very much part of the earth. Anyway, thank you again for your time and attention, and I will catch you later. And that was Life, Passion and Business with your host Paul Harvey and my guests Guy and Ilan Furman. What a great program. I so enjoyed that conversation with you guys, and I am looking forward to perhaps catching up with them again. They did promise to do some live coaching with me on the program at some stage, and maybe we'll take them up on that option. So if you would like to catch up with Guy and Ilan, you certainly can. All the details you will find on the Life, Passion and Business website underneath this podcast. It only remains me to say thank you for taking the time to listen to these shows, because it's such a pleasure to create them, and I hope they bring you some useful content or information. And on that subject, I am always looking for interesting guests. If you think you have something to offer this program, please get in touch. If you visit the website, there is a guest section where you can just send me some details and let's talk. If you are enjoying this podcast series, please support the show by liking and sharing our content. Maybe even submitting a review to iTunes. It all supports us to build the program and build our audience. Anyway, as I said, thank you for listening, and I hope to catch you later.